To ask you to turn in God's Word to Ephesians chapter 5, and just want to read one verse again, and then we'll come to pray. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read from verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And it's verse 26, really, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's just pray. Our gracious Lord, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, for the privilege of being found in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for thy goodness to us over another week. We thank you, Lord, for our services last weekend, Lord, and the visitation of God among us. And we do pray, Lord, once again, Lord, thou wilt come by. We pray, Lord, your presence yourself among us. We thank thee, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thou art not a disappointment. We pray, Lord, you'll come into our midst and bless us. We pray, Lord, that hearts that are cold will be revived. Pray, Lord, that hearts that are dead in sin, Lord, will be called by the Lord into life eternal. Pray, Lord, that hearts, Lord, today that are seeking the Lord will be found in the presence of God, satisfied with God, in the centre of the will of God, guided by the Lord. We thank thee, Lord, thou art the speaking God, the living one, the only true and living God. And we pray, Lord, you will come and bless this church today. Take it on with thyself, we pray. Cover us in the precious blood. And Lord, help us to be faithful to the word of God. I pray you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray. And help me, Lord, to preach faithfully to the glory of my Saviour. In Jesus' name I ask all of these things. Amen. And amen. Last night, we were washing paintbrushes in the bathroom out the back. And as we were washing the paintbrushes, the sink started to fill with water. And look behind, and everything that had previously gone down the sink was coming up a drain over at the other side of the room. And there was a wee bit of drama, and we had to get two bucketfuls of water out. And I just thought, you know that verse, in everything give thanks? That wasn't the first thing in my mind right then and there. And yet on Friday night, we were at a meeting as well, and we watched a DVD of a group of men who had gone from Lurgan and Newton Archery Presbyterian Church out to West Africa. And they went out to drill water. And you know, they were drilling down, and as the water, they struck the water and the water came up, the people came running. And they were so glad to see the water bursting forth, and it was going to transform their lives over there in the churches over there in West Africa. Water is mentioned 636 times in Scripture. It speaks to us of several different things, and I want to leave just three of them with you this morning. First one is found here in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 26, and it says that he, that is Christ, might sanctify and cleanse his church with the washing of water by the word. There are two things here that the Lord desires for his church, is that they be cleansed and sanctified. The word cleanse there, it means to purge, to purify. It's from a word which means clean and pure. The word sanctify means to make holy or to consecrate for himself. Now, the context of this actual description is in a marriage relationship. And the thought here is this, that the spouse ought to desire the highest and best for one another. And that's exactly like the love of Christ for his bride, because the love of Christ for his bride was motivated by his desiring the best for the church. The Lord desires the best for his church. The Lord desires the best for his people. The Lord desires, Christian, this morning, the best for your life and the best for your life. His desire, his vision for your life is this, that you might be sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. You see, there's a great necessity for the Christian to be continually cleansed by the water of the word. Now, what do we mean by that? We're speaking about the mind and we're speaking about the heart. In this world, there is so much that can cause us to have impure thoughts and to live with impure attitudes. Especially the things that we see and the things that we hear, they will affect our hearts and our minds. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, also wrote a book called The Holy War. And it was about the study of man's soul. And there were two gates there. There was eye gate and there was ear gate. And they had to guard it very closely because what got in through those gates was going to affect the city. It was going to affect their integrity, their strength, and the response of that city whenever attacks came. And there is a great importance for us to guard our ears and our eyes. But even with that guarding, there are things that we will hear and things that we will see that are impure, that are unclean. And they go into our minds and they go into our heart. And we need to cleanse our minds. We need to cleanse our heart. And the Word of God tells us how to do it. It's through the washing of the water by the Word. In other words, the Word of God, when it is read in our lives, when it's applied in our lives, has a cleansing effect within our heart and within our mind. We need to experience this cleansing daily. It measures our thoughts and our standards against the thoughts and standards of the world that we have been subjected to. As we read the Word of God, it will cleanse us by exposing sin that we might get it under the blood. And always when we read the Word, it leads us to Christ. In Psalm 119, in verse number 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." You see, through the reading of the Word of God, we keep our minds and we keep our hearts fresh and we keep them clean and we keep them pure. And there's a great need for that today because the media is so subtle and it's so savvy. And you can be walking through supermarkets and the music playing, not realizing those thoughts are coming into your soul. Things on television, maybe things that you read, things that you see, those things are coming into your soul. We cannot fulfill God's purpose for our lives outside of the Word of God. Christian, you cannot go through a week without opening this book and expect to do God's will. You cannot go out this week without opening this book and expect to make wise and good decisions. It's through the cleansing of the water of the Word that we keep clean and pure and keep our minds bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's probably, I suppose, the most obvious thing that water speaks to us in Scripture, the cleansing aspect of water. But if you turn with me to Exodus and the chapter number 15, we find another aspect of water spoken of here. It's Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 23. Exodus 15, verse number 23, and God's word says, "When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." You see, as it says here in Scripture, the word Marah means bitter. At the very start of this chapter, they've just crossed the Red Sea. They're singing the song of Moses. They're singing on to the Lord. "I will sing on to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." But the experiences that they had to face after this were bitter experiences. They came to a place of bitterness in their walk. Now, we have to remember, God led them this way. This was no mistake. This was the way that God had led them. They were not outside of the will of God. And I believe God was seeking to prove his ability to provide for them as they entered into the promised land. You know, whenever we are led sometimes the way of bitterness, or sometimes the way that's hard, sometimes the way that's difficult, we sometimes wonder, "Lord, why? Lord, what is the reason for this?" And we don't always understand. It's very often that it's not until we get through the experience and we look back, we can see the lessons that we have learned. But certainly in the midst of a bitter time and a bitter experience, it is not easy. You can imagine what it was like here. They were hungry. They were in the desert. Now, if you've been out there in the Holy Land, and the last time we were there, they stopped the bus and they allowed us to get out for about 15 to 20 minutes just in the desert, basically, out in the wilderness. And I remember saying to someone at the time, you can understand why the children of Israel were complaining in the wilderness. It was so hot. It was so barren, it was so dry, and you can understand they came to the water and they were so excited and they tasted the water and the water was bitter. It wasn't what they wanted, it wasn't what they desired. They had all come to the place of bitterness in this journey. But there were two types of people here at this bitter experience. Two types of people. Look at verse number 24. It says, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink?" The people murmured against Moses. The word murmured, it means to continually murmur, to dwell on the problem, to be constant in your murmur. It just wasn't to complain. They got it off their chest. All they could talk about and all they could think about was murmuring against Moses. "Moses, your fault. Why are we here? How are you going to provide for us?" But they weren't the only types of people there. There were murmuring people, but if you notice in verse number 25, Moses cried unto the Lord. You see, there were people who murmured, but there were those that cried unto the Lord. Now that word cry in the original, it's the thought of to shriek, to cry out, to proclaim. Moses, I'm sure, was under a great deal of mental strain and anguish. The nation had turned to him. They were questioning him. You can see their eyes just gazing into him. "What have you done? This plan hasn't worked out. It's your fault." And we can see them pointing the finger at Moses. And Moses cries out unto the Lord. The word also means to call together. And I think that's a lovely description of what it means to cry unto the Lord. Because whenever we're in difficult circumstances, we're acknowledging I'm not facing this on my own. I'm calling the Lord and we're facing this together. And what a difference that makes when we realize we face every circumstance of life with the Lord. Oh yes, it's easy to say in good times, "Oh, the Lord's here, hallelujah, praise the Lord." But also in difficult times, the Lord is there as well. We're to cling to him, we're to call on him, we are to come to him. There were those who murmured, there were those who answered, or those who cried unto the Lord. But you know what? There was one answer to the problem. There was one answer to the problem. Look at verse 25. "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." What happened here? The Lord showed him a tree. Oh, what a difference that made. Because that tree was to be taken, it was to be cast into the water, and then a miracle was going to occur. That which was bitter was going to be made sweet. It was going to be made pleasurable to drink. You see, when life is bitter, there is a tree we can go to. It makes a difference in our lives. It's the cross of Calvary. It's the work of Christ. You see, when he died upon the cross of Calvary, he purchased for us every single thing that we need for life's journey. He purchased for us strength, the wisdom that we need. He purchased us the stick ability when the going gets tough, the encouragement when others are being discouraging. At times whenever we feel like giving up, he's purchased for us the power to go on in his name. And all of these things are available when we ask the Lord to help us. And he will pour out of his storehouse an abundance of blessings upon you, Christian. But are you murmuring this morning? Are you complaining about life's lot? Are you seeking the Lord for the answer? Seeking for the blessings he has for you? Seeking that he will equip you to go on even through this bitter experience? When life is bitter, Christ is the answer. He makes a difference. Even in the darkest of nights, thank the Lord, he gives us a song. And the tree of Calvary and all it represents brings a sweetness to our souls. You see, as has often been said when this passage has been preached upon, they came to the place of bitterness. But it was God's will that bitterness would not get into their heart. And folks, whenever we come to that place and the water is bitter, and the experience in life is bitter, it is so important that we do not let that bitterness get into our heart. Why? Because you see, the Word of God says that bitterness is a very dangerous thing. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 10, we read these words. 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, speaking about Hannah, she rose up early, verse 9, after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And then look at verse 17 and 18. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let then handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So this bitterness and this horrible experience had affected her. She was weeping sore. This wasn't something that just annoyed her, but this was something that really ate into the very depths of her soul, something she felt so harshly and something she felt so greatly. And you know what? Her very countenance was sad because of it. But you see, whenever that was dealt with, when she went to the Lord with her bitterness, when she went to the Lord with her prayer, and she went to the Lord with the thing that was causing anguish within her heart, and she cried her tears out before the Lord, the Bible says that she went her way and she ate, and her countenance was no more sad. You see, the reality is bitterness and difficult experiences, they can affect our countenance, and they can affect how we act and how we appear. But not only that, the Word of God tells us in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 17 that bitterness can also affect our peace. And it says there in verse number 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Instead of peace, I had great bitterness. And friend, there cannot be the reigning of peace within the heart and bitterness coexisting with each other. Or where there's an absence of bitterness, thank God, there's a great peace. Whenever there's bitterness, then there's a lack of peace. The word has also translated in Scripture to be discontent. And that's in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. It's just the word discontented. That is the same word as translated bitterness here in this passage. The waters were bitter. And you know what? Whenever we come to experiences in life, we can either take them to the Lord in prayer and pray for God's deliverance through them and God's provision during them and God's promises to be claimed and realized in them. Or we can take bitterness into our heart and our countenance can be changed. We can be sad. We can be downcast. We can take it into our heart and our peace can be removed. We can take it into our heart and our attitude can be changed into that of someone who's discontented. Have you ever met someone who's discontented in life? What a bitter way to be. Discontent with everything. Nothing pleases him. The Word of God says that we are to be content with such things as we have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I wonder today, whenever we think about our bitter experiences or the things in life that are hurting us or the things in life are discouraging us, we need to go to the tree. We need to go to Calvary, to the cross. And there, you know what we see in the cross? We see the love of God. And we're reminded that no matter how difficult and bitter and hard life's experiences are, God's love abideth the same. We see the holiness of God upon the cross of Calvary as he bears our sins in his body and tree. We see the justice of God. Sometimes, you know, in life, that can be the thing that makes us bitter. Maybe you see the unsaved and they seem to be prospering so well in sin. And as a Christian, you're finding it very difficult just to hold things together sometimes. And it seems to be the ungodly seem to be advancing and the Christian seems to be putting down. And that can be a bitterness within the soul. But remember the cross. The cross was a place of justice. And remember the Lord put things right. And in God's time, he will exalt the humble, his people. And God will deal with the ungodly. Thank God it's a place of victory. Sometimes we come to things in life and we think, I'll never get through this. I'll never get over this. But thank God there's always victory at the cross. And the waters of bitterness don't need to go into your soul today, but bring them to the cross and ask the Lord to make you sweet in the midst of a bitter place. To make you the sweet blessing in the midst of a bitter circumstance. Is your spirit bitter today? Go to the tree. Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Have you drifted apart, not as close anymore? And then the course of that hymn says, leave it at the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your sin in every stain in the crimson flood. Leave it at the cross. And then if we turn back just one chapter, we come then to another type of water in Scripture. You see, water speaks to us of cleansing. Water can speak to us also of bitterness. But water also, thank God, speaks to us of the power of God. Look at chapter 14, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, and between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Here we come to another time that water features in Scripture. We come again to a place where God is speaking to Moses. We come to a place where God is leading in his wisdom. And having obeyed God and come out of the land of Egypt, having come out through the time of Passover, there were two problems that the people faced. The first problem was that their enemy, the former master, Pharaoh, wanted them back serving him. And then when they got to the sea, there was an insurmountable obstacle in front of them. And do you know, in life, as a Christian, those are the two things really that we'll face most often that will be the hardest things to face. Our enemy, our former master, Satan, wants us back serving him. He wants us doing the deeds that he does. He wants us sowing discord. He wants us to be discouraging. He wants us to be disobedient. And also in life, there will be insurmountable objects or obstacles in front of us. Maybe that is your circumstance this morning. Maybe you're standing, as it were, at the Red Sea. Satan's behind you, the enemy's behind you, they're coming and attacking on every hand. And in front of you, there seems to be nowhere to go. Whatever your circumstances this morning, there's something that to you humanly seems impossible to deal with, something that seems insurmountable, something that seems will never work out. And maybe like the children of Israel, you're crying, you say, why are we here? What's the point? Well, I would point you to verses number 13 and 14 to see what Moses said to the children of Israel as they stood at this place. Verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Here's what he says, fear ye not. Christian, this morning, this is a word from the Lord for you. Whatever that obstacle is today, whatever that mountain is that you can't climb, that sea that you can't cross, whatever the barrier is in front of you, the Lord says, do not fear. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Why? Because God is in control. But not only do not fear, there's something else there. It says, stand still. Now that word stand still, it means to keep in the one place, to station in the one place, to continue in the one place, to remain in the one place. And sometimes, whenever things come into our lives that are so difficult and insurmountable, sometimes we neglect our faithful post. Sometimes we fall away from following God. Sometimes we're so discouraged that we give up a work. Sometimes we're so discouraged that we stop coming to the place of prayer. Sometimes, because life is difficult, we stop honouring the Lord in his house and in our own home. And here's what the Lord says to the Christian today who's facing something that's difficult, something that's insurmountable, something they can't see the way through. He says, stand still. You keep coming to the house of God. You keep faithful in the place of prayer. You keep reading your Bible. You keep praying. You stand still. You remain where God has placed you until he tells you to do otherwise. Because here's the reason. Here is the reason. See the salvation of the Lord. God is going to deliver you. God never brings you to the edge of the Red Sea to stay there. But he'd bring you there that he might open it up. You can go through. God doesn't bring you to the fiery furnace that you might be incinerated, but he brings it, he might walk with you through the furnace and out the other side. God is able to bring you through whatever your circumstances. You see, there was nothing they could do right here but trust God. They were no match for the Egyptian army. They had no resources really to fight. There was nothing they could do but trust God. But listen, there was nothing they needed to do but trust God. There was nothing they needed to do. Anxiety could not change their circumstances, but God could. Anxiety couldn't change your circumstances, but God could. Friend, there's many a Christian, they sit and they worry, how's it all going to work out? How is the Lord going to get me through this? How am I ever going to get through this problem? How am I going to get the other side of the sea? How am I going to get over the mountain? How am I going to deal with this battle? Friend, anxiety will not change your circumstances, but God can change your circumstances. And what was their great complaint at this time was in a few moments' time going to become their greatest testimony and their greatest note of praise. For year upon year and right up to this very day, the Hebrew people look back to that time of the deliverance of God, the opening of the Red Sea and the walking through, because you see, God did a miracle there. And whenever the Lord says, fear not, stand still and see the salvation, then the command was to go forward. Go forward. God's calling you to go forward this morning. Yes, stand still, be in your place. Yes, be faithful to where he's called you to be. To your church, to your work, whatever he's called you to be faithful. Or friend, make progress with God. Go forward at God's command. You might say, I know God wants me to go forward and make progress, but my circumstances are insurmountable. My family, I don't know. My finances, my health, my fears, my failures, my regrets, my lack of experience, the unknown future, the discouragement, the inadequacy. Friend, don't allow those things to hold you back from going on with God. And in verse number 21, we read these words, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I love the fact the Bible records the sea was made dry land. They weren't walking through in mud and sinking sand. No, they're walking through in dry land. This was a miracle. God had provided a sure and a certain way. And the hymn says, when Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay. The Lord reached down his mighty hand, and you know what? Rolled that sea away. The obstacle was removed. Before me was a sea of sin. So great I feared to pray, but my heart's desire the Savior read, and rolled the sea away. Do you remember, Christian, the night you were saved? You saw nothing but your sin. You felt nothing but your guilt and your uncleanness. And you thought, how could this be done? You cried, Lord, save me. Lord rolled it away. Thank God he's still able to do it today for the sinner in this meeting. When sorrows dark like stormy waves were crashing o'er my way, again the Lord in mercy came and he rolled that sea away. When I reach the sea of death, for needed grace I'll pray, I know the Lord. He'll quickly come and he'll roll the sea away, then forward still. 'Tis Jehovah's will, though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we will push ahead. He roll the sea away. There's no break, there's no problem too big for God. There's no mountain too high, there's no storm too dark, there's no sorrow too deep. Friend, God is able to deal with it. God does not want you to lie down in despair and give up in anxiety and be feeble in your faith, but to trust him. And to look to him for the deliverance. You see, there's a choice to be made here. You can focus on the problem or you can trust in the Lord. And do you know what happened here? Not only were God's people delivered, God's enemies were also defeated. You see, whenever you go through with God and you obey God and you follow God, then mountains will be removed and the enemies will be defeated. Don't overlook verse 21 in the first little statement. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Moses did what God told him to do. And in that congregation, there was one man who was willing to do what God told him to do. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And because of one man's obedience, over 2 million people were delivered. You see, man's obedience, or Moses' obedience, resulted in many being blessed. And your obedience and my obedience will result in others being blessed. Our God is still the God of miracles. Do you feel like giving up today? Do you feel like going back? Listen what they said. It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians. Do you feel like going back? Is the battle too hard? Are you questioning the Lord's wisdom? Are you questioning the Lord's motives? Listen, his plans for us will never be thwarted by any mountain or sea or storm or sorrow. If we obey him and follow him and in obedience go on with him, then the Lord will move every obstacle out of our path. Could it be this morning you're sitting in life and there's an obstacle in your path? There's a great insurmountable thing in your path and you can't get over it, around it, or through it. But you've never asked the Lord to deliver you through it. Friend, God knows best. God knows best. His plans will prosper. His people, when they're trusting in him, will prevail. We must follow him. And therefore this morning, as we bring our meeting to a close, I want you to remember in the word of God, the water speaks to us of cleansing. Christian, in this meeting, continually cleanse your heart, your soul, and your mind with the water of the word. It also speaks to us of bitterness. It's possible to be overwhelmed and consumed by bitterness. Friend, that will affect your life. It will affect your testimony. It will rob you of your peace and your joy in serving the Lord. But thank God, the waters of bitterness can be transformed into the waters of sweetness. We go to the cross. And then the waters also speak to us of the power of God. The power of God. And God brought the people through the impossible. And what happened was they sang this song, God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt him. You see, their hearts spilled out with joy because of what the Lord had done for them. Christian, in this meeting, whatever the insurmountable object is, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Moses prayed, and then his people say, today you'll see the deliverance. Friend, you could be one prayer away from a deliverance. I believe God's people need to pray a wee bit more. We certainly are living in very, very wicked days. And people often marvel, how much worse can it get? And I marvel just how less can God's people pray. We're in a land and there seems to be an insurmountable object. A great torrent of wickedness coming into schools, into homes, into communities, teaching that right is wrong and that wrong is right. And it seems impossible to be defeated. But you know what? If God's people pray, God can deliver us. My friend, if you truly believe that, then you'll be in the place of prayer and you'll open your mouth to pray. And I marvel also at the fact there's people and there are problems in their lives and God has promised to deliver them and they haven't asked. Christian, God is saying to you this morning, ask of me. Ask of me. Don't be discouraged. Don't be bitter. Don't give up. But ask of God. And then expect the deliverance. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for this book that does cleanse us from the impurities that come into our hearts and our minds through this old world. Lord, keep us faithful in the word of God. Help us never, Lord, to neglect this book. Help us never to keep it closed. But we ask you, Lord, that through it, Lord, we will live well for God. We pray, Lord, also about the waters of bitterness. We've all been there, Lord. We've all known what it is to have bitterness in our soul, maybe against a brother or sister, maybe against circumstances, and Lord, even against thee. And I pray, Lord, that you will deliver all of God's people from bitterness today. Oh, Lord, the devil would love the Christian to limp home in bitterness. But, Lord, thou desirest them to march home in peace and purity. Lord, don't allow the difficulties of life to make us better against thee. And Lord, I pray and thank thee for the reminder that there's nothing too difficult for God. And I pray for those who feel this morning like they're just like the children of Israel felt as they stood at the Red Sea. How am I going to get through? The enemy's attacking. There seems to be no way forward. But Lord, we thank thee the moment Moses cried to God, we thank you, a way was provided. Lord, I thank you, there's nothing too difficult for thee. Lord, I thank thee, there is no one too difficult for thee. I thank thee, Lord, that the wave of wickedness that is sweeping this land, Lord, it is not too great for thee to deliver us from. And I pray today, Lord, that thou wilt come and thou wilt deliver thy people and thy church. Lord, keep us pure in these wicked days. Keep us faithful in these dark days. And Lord, keep us on our knees in prayer till the answer we gain. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt bring upon this community a fear of God. And I pray, Lord, you'll bring upon a sense of eternity that people will be concerned about their soul. Lord, this is something only you can do. But Lord, we thank thee, it's not too difficult for thee. Lord, roll away the apathy. Roll away the excuses. And Lord, deliver our town, our families, our friends, our work colleagues. Please save, Lord, we pray. For dear brother and sister, maybe today so discouraged they don't see any way forward. Lord, may they know the experience of simply standing still and seeing the Lord move. Deliver them, we pray. Bless us, Lord, as we meet around thy table. Give us a precious time, we pray. For Christ's sake, we ask all of these things.